Welcome to Then and Now with Ed Stevens, President of the International Preterist Association. Then and Now is a weekly podcast designed to explore past fulfillment of Bible prophecy in order to equip us for guiding the church in its ongoing reform. And now, with today's message, here's Ed Stevens.
Well, thanks for joining me here on Then and Now, where we study the Bible and history to help us understand the present and shape a better future. Let's pray. Our Father in the heavens above, holy, holy, holy is your name. We ask for your presence with us and your guidance as we look at some difficult issues in this session. Give us humility to remember that we have all been guilty of believing and teaching error in the past. Help us to understand your truth so that we can back away from error. Help me as I deliver this lesson to say only what needs to be said and to say it in a way that helps all of us understand you better and follow you more faithfully. We pray this in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, there's a couple of issues that we need to look at here in this session. The first one is, on Facebook this last week, there was a post which mentioned my name and attacked our individual body resurrection view. And of course, that's the view which teaches that we Christians living after AD 70 will receive our new immortal bodies immediately after death and go right to heaven. The skeptic who challenged the individual body view denies that Christians today, after AD 70, still get immortality and go to heaven when we die. That is one of the issues that we will examine here first. The second issue is a similar misrepresentation of the individual body view by some fellow full preterists who are advocates of the collective body view of the resurrection, and who are saying that I am a futurist because I believe that Christians today, after 70 AD, receive something new, different, or better after we die and go to heaven. The connection between these two ideas may not be obvious here at the beginning, but I trust that it will be obvious to us by the time we're finished with our lesson. So that's why we're going to be taking a look at both of these issues in this same session, because there is a relationship between them. But we want to deal with the skeptic first, who denies an afterlife based on the idea that the resurrection occurred in 70 AD. And we need to note up front that we're not attacking the person, the motives, or the character of the individuals involved in this dispute, but rather simply defending ourselves from their attack on our views. Let's look at the skeptical attack first. The skeptic on Facebook this last week teaches that there is no immortality or heavenly afterlife available for any Christians or believers after 70 AD. The skeptic on Facebook rightly showed that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, which talks about being absent from the body and at home with the Lord, was referring to what would happen to the first century saints at the parousia, not to saints after 70 AD. But then he goes further to claim that the heavenly afterlife was no longer available to anyone after AD 70. This is a radical cessationist view, which suggests that the church ceased to exist on earth after 70 AD, and that believers today have no hope for an immortal body or heavenly afterlife after death. Here is the way the skeptic expressed his denial of our heavenly afterlife. He was looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, and he says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, was referring to the time of the parousia and not physical death. We know this because 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4 refers to mortality being swallowed up by life, which Paul was still anticipating would occur with the resurrection at the parousia. Thus, if Paul died before the parousia, he would be among the dead who would not actually go up to be with the Lord until the parousia. This is a critical problem for full preterists like Ed Stevens, who claims that he's going to receive an immortal body at death, because the only thing the apostles taught was immortal body at the parousia, not immortal body at death. Thus, people like Stevens, who say that the parousia is in the past, cannot make any biblical exegetical argument for immortality beyond that point of 70 AD. Well, I have to say that it is utterly flabbergasting to me how any fellow Christians could take such an argument seriously. If Hades was emptied and thrown into the lake of fire at the parousia, like Revelation 20 teaches, then Christians can no longer go to Hades at death, nor do we cease to exist, like the skeptic thinks. Apostle Paul resolved this issue for us when he said that Jesus' death on the cross covered all of our sins once for all. Jesus does not need to come back into the flesh again after 70 AD multiple times and die again over and over and over for our sins today. Once was enough. Once for all. The benefits of the cross apply to all saints from the cross onwards throughout all generations of the age of the ages. Likewise, this phrase once for all is used in reference to the parousia and the completion of the New Testament scriptures. In Jude verse 3, he talks about once for all delivered to the saints, the scriptures were. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, it talks about the parousia, especially Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. It refers to this once for all idea at the parousia. Both the parousia and the writing down of New Testament scriptures and the cross were once for all events with eternal ongoing benefits for all believers. This is why Paul said in Ephesians 3:21 that there would be glory to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations of the age of the ages. It was not going to stop at AD 70 like this foolish skeptic has suggested. The cross and the parousia are both once-for-all events, and the benefits of those once-for-all events are available to all generations of the church forever and ever. So I'm afraid that this skeptic on Facebook has not read the Bible very carefully, nor realized the logical and biblical fallacy that he is making. His skepticism is totally out of sync with the scriptural principle of once-for-all atonement at the cross and once-for-all salvation at the parousia. The benefits of the cross and the parousia are ongoing and eternal after AD 70. I have listed below all the texts which use this once-for-all idea so that the reader can have the references to study later in their context. There is no need for us to go through them here. I'll mention them, but I'm not going to deal with them thoroughly. The principle of once-for-all with continuing benefits is so easy to grasp that even a caveman can do it. We Christians today still have the same hope for an immortal body and a heavenly afterlife that the first century saints had. It was the cross which guaranteed that hope and the parousia which fulfilled that hope and made it available to us so that after the parousia we can have it now. It was still future to those saints before the parousia. They had it guaranteed to them, but they didn't have it available to them until the parousia. But now, after the parousia, we have it available to us. That's what this skeptic on Facebook just doesn't get. But those two events, the cross and the parousia, guaranteed the hope and made it available to us. The cross purchased our salvation, and the parousia delivered that salvation to us once for all and made it available for us so that when we die, we can receive it immediately after death. Those two events do not ever need to be repeated. They were once-for-all events. But their benefits are available now and forever to all generations of those who are in the church and in Christ Jesus. Just as it says in Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. It didn't stop at 70 AD, like this skeptic wants us to think. Well, some of these texts that use this once-for-all language are Romans 6, verse 10, for instance, where it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Very clear there that it's affirming a continuing life of Christ after he was raised from the dead, and certainly after 70 AD as well. He has a life that he lives to God forever and ever. Hebrews 7, verse 27, where Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, says, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Speaking of Christ there. Hebrews 9, verse 12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, question, if this principle of once for all is valid, and it certainly is, then it proves that it cannot mean a cessation of the benefits at 70 AD. And here's why, because if the benefits of the resurrection at 70 AD ceased at the resurrection in 70 AD, then the benefits of the cross, which was also a once-for-all event, ceased after the cross. If this skeptic is going to say that the benefits of the resurrection ceased after 70 AD, then that means that the benefits of the cross ceased after the cross in 30 AD, and therefore we should not have any New Testament books being written talking about the benefits that they were enjoying in Christ during that generation before 70 AD. If those benefits ceased at the cross, then they would not have been enjoying those benefits after the cross during the transition period from 30 to 70 AD. And so that helps us understand that the cross and the parousia both are once-for-all events, to be sure. But the benefits from those once-for-all events continue afterwards, forever. The benefits of the cross continued not only for a generation, but forever to all those who are in Christ. And the benefits of the resurrection at 70 AD continue as well for those who are in Christ. Notice he says here in Hebrews 9, 26 through 28, otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. There again is a reference to the fact that the cross and the parousia both are once-for-all events, with continuing benefits thereafter, forever. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Notice he mentions that Jesus was made alive in the Spirit and doesn't talk about any cessation of that life, which is what would have to take place if, in fact, this skeptic is correct in his idea that once-for-all events have a cessation of all benefits afterwards. Also in Jude verse 3 and verse 5, as we mentioned before, Jude talks about this once-for-all concept in relation to the writing down of our New Testament books. He says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And then he says two verses later, now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. So the arguments of this skeptic simply vaporize in light of these once-for-all scriptures. There is no logical or biblical substance to his mere assertions that all the benefits ceased at 70 AD. However, the second issue that we're going to be looking at here that has been raised by some of our fellow full preterists who are advocates of the collective body view of the resurrection, and their basic argument is that when we say that we get our new immortal bodies at death and go to heaven, that we are receiving a resurrection after 70 AD, and that that makes us futurist because we're receiving a resurrection after the 70 AD once for all resurrection. And that would make us a futurist because we're receiving something after 70 AD. But I'm going to contend here that getting immortality, getting our new immortal bodies, and going to heaven after 70 AD is not futurist. And so I want to spend the rest of our time here in this session looking at their attack on the individual body view. Some of our fellow full preterists, dear brothers in Christ, who teach the collective body view of the resurrection, on their discussion list and their podcast have repeatedly stated that any view of the resurrection which gives any of the benefits to saints after 70 AD is futurist. In other words, they believe that AD 70 was the full and final giving of all the benefits of our salvation, so that we saints today do not receive anything new, different, or better at our physical death than what we already have now while here on earth in this life. They say that those benefits, immortality and eternal life in God's presence, were already given to us at the Parousia in AD 70. Now, in a sense, that's true because they were made available to us, but we did not receive them until we die physically. And that's a distinction that they are not willing to make. They say that those benefits, immortality and eternal life in God's presence, were already given to us at the Parousia in AD 70, and that we have them now already while we are in this life on earth. There is nothing new, different, or better for us to receive at our physical death than what we already have now in Christ in this life on earth. Therefore, anyone who says that we will get a new immortal body and go to heaven at physical death is a futurist, because we're saying that we're getting some kind of resurrection benefits long after the resurrection has occurred. These dear brothers will not allow for the resurrection to be a once-for-all event with ongoing benefits forever afterwards to those who are in Christ and in the church. Now you see why I spent the time at the beginning dealing with this skeptic's arguments and why he's easily refuted by this once-for-all event with ongoing benefits concept. Because it applies very clearly to the collective body view. When you look at the once-for-all event idea with its ongoing benefits forever afterwards, it answers their accusations that we are futurist. But these dear brothers who teach the collective body view want to lock down all the benefits at 70 AD, just like the skeptic's arguments in his attempt to lock all the benefits down at 70 AD as well, and say that all the benefits were given then with no more to be given afterwards, that there was a cessation of those benefits afterwards. Now, I don't think the collective body view guys realize the implications of what they're saying. If they did, I think they would back away from it. But obviously, they're similar to what this skeptic's saying here when they try to lock down all the benefits having been received at the parousia in 70 AD, and that none of those benefits can be given after 70 AD. That plays right into the hands of these skeptics and hyper-cessationists like Chris Camillo. Well, we call the collective body view the heaven-now view or the body-now view. And the reason we do that is because they believe that we are in heaven now, in some sense, and that we already have our immortal body now, in some sense. And so you'll hear me refer to their view as the heaven now or body now view, since they believe that we're already in heaven and have our immortal body now in some sense. And of course, heaven now and body now would be a good way to describe their view because of that implication. But it is not futurist for us to believe that we get something new, different, and better after physical death. That is merely receiving the ongoing benefits of the once-for-all cross and once-for-all parousia and resurrection events. All the prophecies were indeed fulfilled once for all in AD 70. There's no question about that. There's no quibble or debate on that. All of us agree on that. It is not another fulfillment of the resurrection prophecies today when we receive the benefits of that once for all resurrection. We're merely receiving the benefits that were reserved in heaven for us at the once for all fulfillment of the resurrection in AD 70. The once-for-all fulfillment principle easily explains this problem. So it is not futurist at all to suggest that we saints today receive those benefits at our physical death. The only reason these collective body advocates have raised this issue is for the purpose of ridicule and poisoning the well. It is nothing more than a scare tactic to frighten fellow preterists away from looking at the individual body view and the literal rapture view. In other words, they're trying to knock the opposing view down in order to build their own view up. But they are forced to misrepresent our view in order to do that. They're setting up a straw man argument which does not fairly represent what we are actually teaching. And we're going to see that as we go through the rest of this lesson. For instance, they accuse us of believing that the resurrection is an ongoing process that is fulfilled over and over again after 70 AD every time someone dies and gets his new immortal body and goes to heaven. But that is a false accusation. We believe no such thing. We're not futurists. The resurrection was a once-for-all event that was fully fulfilled at the parousia in 66 to 70 AD. But just because the event occurred then does not at all mean that the benefits of that resurrection cannot be given to saints later after 70 AD when those saints die. That is the nature of once-for-all events like the cross and the parousia. Those two events are never to be repeated, yet they have ongoing implications, applications, and benefits to all saints throughout all generations of the eternal kingdom after 70 AD. So it is not futurist at all to suggest that we saints today receive those benefits at our physical death. When we receive our immortal bodies and go to heaven at physical death, it is not a new resurrection event. It is merely receiving the benefits of the once-for-all resurrection event at 70 AD. Therefore, we're not fulfilling any resurrection prophecies when we die and receive our new immortal bodies and go to heaven. We are simply receiving the benefits that were reserved in heaven for us at the once-for-all fulfillment in 70 AD. At the resurrection event in AD 70, immortality and heaven were made available once for all to all saints who die after 70 AD. They do not have to be raised out of Hades to get those benefits, because saints no longer go to Hades at physical death after 70 AD. Therefore, they cannot be raised out of Hades. So there is no resurrection for saints after 70 AD, because we don't go to Hades to be raised back out of there. You can't be raised out of something that you never went into in the first place. So resurrection no longer applies to Christians after 70 AD. When we die, there is no resurrection out of Hades, but instead, we simply receive our new immortal bodies and go immediately to heaven. That is not a resurrection. It is merely receiving the benefits of the once-for-all resurrection event in AD 70. Now, that is an important point that we need to constantly emphasize. It's not very well understood, not even by all of us individual body advocates. There is a big difference between what the collective body view guys are accusing us of believing versus what we actually believe. Yet they persist in constructing their straw man arguments and then knocking them down, pretending like they have refuted the individual body view. But in reality, they've only knocked down a misrepresentation straw man of our view and not our view itself. Furthermore, they have proved too much against their own view while trying to knock down ours. For instance, they have admitted to me in private conversations and on the internet that they believe that there was a resurrection of dead saints out of Hades in 70 AD, with Hades then being emptied and done away with, and that saints now after AD 70 no longer go to Hades at physical death, but instead go into the presence of God for eternity. Now notice they don't call it heaven. They'll say the presence of God, but they won't say we go to heaven. They'll simply say that we go into the presence of God for eternity, because they believe that we're already in heaven now. Now this raises a very interesting question for our collective body brothers, which is, do we saints today who are living after AD 70 receive anything or experience anything after physical death which is new, different, or better than what we already have here and now in this life on earth? When I have posed this question to some of the collective body guys, they immediately deny that we receive anything at physical death which we do not already have now in this life on earth. They know where I am going with this question, and they know that if we saints do get something new, different, or better at death, then their collective body goose is cooked. They have to maintain their heaven now and immortal body now view in order to be consistent. Yet I have their own words in print where they admit that we do experience something new, different, or better after physical death. And they have to admit this, or else face the accusation that they are denying our hope in an immortal heavenly afterlife, which they admit is definitely different and better than this physical life on earth. You would not believe the amount of semantic word games, shell games, bait and switch games, and obfuscation that they engage in to hide this admission. They know they are inconsistent on this, and so they set up a straw man argument against us in order to deflect our attention away from their own inconsistency. But those kind of dodging tactics only work for so long, until the smoke clears and the dust settles and people finally see the implications of what they are actually saying. They allow their own collective body view to grant those benefits after physical death without attaching the futurist label to it, but they will not allow the individual body view guys to grant those same benefits after physical death without being labeled as futurist. Do you see the hypocrisy and inconsistency here? I really feel that I need to share with you some of the email interactions that I've had with the collective body guys. After looking at their actual words, I think we will see their inconsistency and cover-up tactics very clearly. I need to make the point here that I once took the collective body view for a long time until the early 1990s when I abandoned it. So I understand the view. I once took the view, but I backed away from it, and I'm explaining to you here why I backed away. Here are some of the questions that I ask those guys, and their answers to these questions really made me have second thoughts about the collective body view. For instance, I've had this conversation with numerous guys who take the collective body view over and over throughout the last 20 or so years. When I ask one of the collective body view advocates what we will get and where we will go after we die, he said, "I'm never going to die." I said, "You mean you're never going to die physically?" He said, "I wasn't talking about physical death." I said, "But I was, and I still am. Please tell me what you believe we will get and where we will go after we die physically." Well, when he realized he would now have to explain what happens to us after physical death, he changed his response to, "I don't know what happens to us after physical death." When I chided him for claiming to have a comprehensive view of the resurrection and the afterlife, but yet had no real explanation for what the afterlife would be like, he morphed again and said, "Well, I will be in glory." So I ask, "Are you saying that at physical death, you're going to go somewhere else and get something different or better than what you already have now?" That is when he morphed again, chameleon style, and went back to his former assertion that we are already in heaven now and already have our immortal body now, and that at physical death, we will not get anything new, different, or better than what we already have. So I ask, if we are already in heaven now and already have our new immortal bodies now, then what is there to hope for after physical death? And what did you mean when you said that after physical death, you will be in glory? Are we in glory now already? Or do we have to wait until after physical death to go there? And if we have to wait until physical death to go there, how is that glory different or better than the heaven that you say we are already in now? Is glory then any different or better than heaven now? If not, then according to your view, we are already in glory. If glory is something different or better than heaven now, then you are admitting that we do not yet have everything while we are still in this earthly body, and that we do get something new, different, or better after physical death. So which is it? You can't have it both ways. The collective body advocate clammed up at that point and refused to continue the conversation, since he could see where it was headed, and he did not want to go there. He did not want to admit that there are greater experiential blessings waiting for us in heaven after we die physically. That would contradict his heaven now and immortal body now view, and his belief that everything has been fulfilled with nothing else to be added after 70 AD. The completely fulfilled view. The collective body advocates consider those of us who believe that we get something new, different, and better after we die physically as being futurist. They do not think that we can get anything more at physical death than what we already have now in this life on earth, because that would mean that the prophecies about our afterlife are not yet fulfilled until we die physically. That would put some fulfillments of prophecy after 70 AD and make us futurist. But we have already shown above, that the resurrection was a once-for-all event, just like the cross, and that it has ongoing benefits to be received at physical death, just like the cross does. If you deny the ongoing benefits of the resurrection, then you have to deny the ongoing benefits of the cross as well, because they're both once-for-all events with everlasting benefits afterwards. Do you see the problem with their view that we already have our immortal bodies now and that we are already in heaven now? Their view robs us of our afterlife hope, and it deceives us into thinking that we're already in heaven now and already have our immortal bodies now. But it is not futurist to believe that we get something better after physical death. All the resurrection prophecies were fulfilled at 70 AD, when the heavenly afterlife was made available once for all to all saints, including those who die after AD 70. We're not fulfilling some new resurrection prophecies today when we go to heaven and get our immortal bodies. We're simply receiving and enjoying the benefits that were reserved in heaven for us at the once-for-all resurrection event in 70 AD. When I ask another one of the collective body brothers what kind of existence we would have in the afterlife after physical death, whether it would be in an individual body or in a disembodied pure spirit form, he said it would be in a pure spirit form, without an individual body, but merged into the one big collective body. When I ask him what happened to the individual dead saints at the AD 70 resurrection event, he refused to deal with that question from an individual body perspective and instantly jumped over into his collective body paradigm to say that those dead saints were raised into the one big collective body where they will remain forever. And he says that we today are in that same collective body now where we will remain forever. These collective body guys refuse to answer my questions about the individual body, and they play word games where they redefine all the resurrection terms and concepts so that they fit their collective body view. They will not answer the questions about the individual body, other than to say that we have our immortal body now, and that we are in heaven now, and that we do not receive anything new, different, or better at our physical death. And they have to redefine all these terms in order to make the resurrection text fit their paradigm. They think every resurrection text in the New Testament is only talking about a collective body resurrection and has nothing at all to do with a physical body and our individual afterlife. The collective body guys do not want to discuss any of the biblical resurrection text from an individual body perspective. They immediately jump over into their collective body framework and redefine all the terms and concepts in order to make those texts fit their collective body view. They engage in what I would call gold medal exegetical gymnastics, better known as waving their magic hyper-spiritualizing wand over a text in order to avoid dealing with the individual body implications so that they can redirect the discussion into their collective body paradigm. And I've included a lot more of this kind of dialogue back and forth with those guys at the bottom of this PDF lesson outline for this podcast. So if you want to see some more of that kind of dialogue back and forth, then you'll want to get this PDF outline. In conclusion, we have looked at a couple of issues that are currently floating around within the preterist movement. Number one, the radical hyper-preterist and skeptical view hyper-cessationist view of Chris Camillo that believes in no afterlife for Christians after 70 AD and bases it on this idea that the resurrection occurred in 70 AD and was fully fulfilled then, and therefore there's no benefits at all for any Christians after 70 AD. And then, of course, there's another view floating around, the collective body view, which accuses us of being futurist for saying that we get some benefits of the resurrection after 70 AD. We've noticed that these two views, the skeptical view and the collective body view, have something in common, which is the idea that everything was fully fulfilled in 70 AD, especially in regard to the resurrection, so that there could be no additional resurrections or benefits given to any saint after 70 AD. Otherwise, it makes us a futurist. We've noticed the inconsistency of the collective body view when they admit that we saints today, after AD 70, do receive the redemptive benefits of the cross. When we're converted, when we become Christians, when we're born again, when we're regenerated, we're receiving some benefits of that once-for-all event called the cross. And when we die physically, we receive the benefits of that once-for-all resurrection event in 70 AD. Do you catch the power of that? Our collective body brothers just simply don't get that point. They don't understand that once-for-all principle with ongoing benefits afterwards. They're inconsistent on that. They'll admit that we do receive those redemptive benefits at our conversion, but they don't like to hear the idea that we received some benefits of the resurrection at our physical death. Since this is receiving and enjoying something different and better than what we already have while on earth, it seems to me that they are guilty of the charge of futurism also, unless they want to agree with us that we are only receiving the benefits of a once-for-all resurrection and not experiencing another resurrection after 70 AD. Since they believe we get benefits of the cross after 70 AD, and some of them have even admitted that we get to enjoy the presence of God, which is definitely far better than anything we're experiencing here on earth, since they admit that, some of them will admit that, then they need to realize they're being inconsistent for accusing us of being futurist, for believing that we receive some new, better, and different things when we die physically and go to heaven. Otherwise, if they continue teaching that the resurrection event was fully fulfilled in AD 70 and that all its benefits were fully dispensed at 70 AD with nothing else to be received or enjoyed after AD 70, then they are playing right into the hands of the skeptical hyper-cessationist like Rivers of Eden, also known as Chris Camillo. He just loves to hear those collective body guys say that the resurrection was fully fulfilled in AD 70 with nothing else to be received or experienced afterwards, and that we're already in heaven now, and that we already have our body now. That really makes his hyper-cessationist argument complete and utterly destroys our afterlife hope of receiving a new immortal body and going to heaven to live forever. Are the collective body guys so desperate to maintain their heaven now and immortal body now paradigm that they would rather be seen as agreeing with a hyper-cessationist skeptic like Chris Camillo than to admit that we individual body folks are just as much full preterist as they are? Here's a question that I want to consider in closing. Am I a futurist for believing that the benefits of the once-for-all event of the resurrection of the dead out of Hades in AD 70 are applied to me at my regeneration and given to me to enjoy and experience at the time of my individual physical death. Am I a futurist for believing that I get the benefits of the cross and the resurrection when I die and go to heaven? Well, my answer is absolutely not. The resurrection of the dead ones out of Hades was a once-for-all event, just like the cross was a once-for-all event, which was fully fulfilled in AD 70 when all the dead saints who were in Hades were raised out of there, never to return. Hades was forever, once for all, cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 says that. After AD 70, no saints ever go to Hades when they die physically. We saints after AD 70 now go to heaven and get our new immortal bodies immediately after physical death. That's not a resurrection. We're not being raised out of Hades because we don't go to Hades. And going to heaven and getting our new immortal bodies is not a resurrection. It's a benefit of the once-for-all, fully fulfilled resurrection of the dead out of Hades at 70 AD. Futurists do not believe that the once-for-all resurrection of the dead has occurred yet. But full preterists believe it. It was a once-for-all event, and not an ongoing process of going to Hades and rising back out of there again. That's over and done with. No more do saints go to Hades and have to be raised out of there. So when we die and go to heaven, we're not going to Hades and having to be raised out of there. That's not a resurrection event. It's simply receiving the benefits of our once-for-all resurrection at 70 A.D., resurrection no longer applies to us because no saint after 70 AD goes to Hades. We can't be raised out of Hades if we never go there. So there's no such thing as a resurrection at death for the individual Christian today after 70 AD. And I've heard that term. The collective body guys have said that Ed Stevens believes in a resurrection at death. I do not believe that, and here is why. My afterlife view does not describe the reception of the immortal body at death as being a resurrection at death. That phrase, resurrection at death, is a straw man misrepresentation of my view. The resurrection out of Hades was a once-for-all event at AD 70, which has now been fully fulfilled. No saints go to Hades anymore after AD 70. So there is no more resurrections of saints out of Hades. We're not raised out of Hades at death. We're not raised at death. We simply put on our new immortal bodies and dwell in heaven with Christ and all the saints. That putting on of our new individual immortal bodies at death is not a resurrection. It's not a resurrection at death, like these collective body guys are accusing us of believing. The resurrection of the dead out of Hades was over with and done with at 70 AD. It was a once-for-all event, never to be repeated. It's fully fulfilled at the Parousia in 70 AD. So there's no more resurrections at death. That term resurrection doesn't apply to us now because we don't go to Hades, so we can't be raised out of there. The resurrection term no longer applies to us because we no longer go to Hades at death. It is also an incorrect use of terminology to say resurrection body. And I've heard collective body guys say that. We're getting a resurrection at death, and we're getting our resurrection bodies at death. And therefore, they're futurists because they're believing the resurrection is happening to us after 70 AD. They need to understand that we are not using the terminology that way. It's incorrect use of terminology to say resurrection body today. The futurist invented that phrase, but the Bible does not use it. Nor does it use the phrases resurrection of the flesh or resurrection of the body, all of which are used in the confessions and creeds, by the way. All of these phrases are unbiblical. Instead, the Bible uses the phrase resurrection of the dead ones, talking about the resurrection of the dead ones out of Hades. There's a big difference. The futurists don't get it, and I don't think some of our collective body guys get it either. The resurrection of the dead at 70 AD was not a resurrection of bodies out of the ground, like the futurist would think, and like some of our collective body advocates are accusing us of believing. It was not a resurrection of bodies out of the ground, but a resurrection of disembodied souls out of Hades. Big difference. That resurrection of the dead ones out of Hades is a past event. It was a once-for-all event, just like the cross. However, there are benefits of that once-for-all event, just like the benefits of the once-for-all event of the cross, that we can now enjoy after 70 AD when we die and go to heaven and receive our new immortal bodies. Futurists do not believe we have those benefits yet, but full preterists do. We believe we have those benefits available for us, reserved in heaven for us, so that we can receive them immediately after our physical death. So it does not make us futurist to believe that those benefits are given to us at our physical death, because it's not a resurrection out of Hades. Thus, the claim by the collective body folks that the individual body view is futurist is a false accusation and a misrepresentation of what we actually believe. I would encourage those folks to withdraw that accusation. They have some inconsistency problems of their own that they need to get worked out first. Perhaps they can remove the log from their own eye so that they can see more clearly to remove the speck out of our eyes. Well, that'll just about wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening.
This has been Then and Now with Ed Stevens. We would love to hear from you. Send your email to preterist1@preterist.org. Our website has many great articles, books, and audio video resources. The address is www.preterist.org. This teaching ministry depends on your donations and you share in all the good fruit that we produce. To make a donation or support monthly, simply go to our website, www.preterist.org, or call us at 814-368-6578. Join us again next time for Then and Now, where we study the past to shape a better future.